We're doing Jewish history. We were up to the year 2365. We had learned about Miriam was born, Aaron was born, Moshe was born. And we haven't yet reached the point where Moshe was born, but Miriam and Aaron were born. And in that year that Aaron was born, so Tzepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav, who was king of the Kittim, he passed away. He had been king for 50 years, and he was buried in the city Nivnah, I don't know how you pronounce that. And the next king was Yaninu, other sources say it was Yanush. And he was one of the brave warriors of the Kittim. He was king for 50 years. And after Tzfo passed away, so Bilam ben Beor, fled the land of the Kittim, and he came to Pharaoh. Remember, he was the one who foresaw who would win the different battles. So now he came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gave him great honor. He had heard of Bilam's wisdom. Remember, Bilam was still a youngster. He gave him gifts, and he elevated his stature, and he appointed Bilam advisor. 3 years pass. Bilam is now in Egypt. Remember, according to this, Bilam is much older than Moshe Rabbeinu. He is already a professional when Moshe is born in the year 2368. And we've been in Egypt 130 years. Pharaoh has a dream. He sees an old man. And the man is holding a scale. And Pharaoh calls in his wise men. And he tells them, tell me, what does this dream mean? And Bilam tells him, look, call in two advisors, see what they tell you. So, he calls in two advisors. Who are these two advisors? Reuel, otherwise known as Jethro, and Eov, otherwise known as Job. And so we have this whole long medrash about what they told him, the interpretation of the dream, and what they should do, and how this means that there's a baby that's going to be born who will judge him and punish him, and etc. And finally, Bilam gives him advice. You want to save yourself from this kid? Throw every newborn male child into the Nile. So the people hear this decree. Some of the people separate from their wives. Some stayed married. And the women would go out to the fields to give birth. And after they'd give birth, they'd leave the kids behind. The Egyptians shouldn't find them. The Medrash says, and this is a Medrash that I learned as a child in kindergarten and pre-1A and first grade and second grade. God sent an angel. The angel would wash and anoint the babies. He'd give them two rocks. One rock they'd nurse milk from. The other rock they'd suck honey from. And their hair would grow long. And then they'd cover themselves with the hair. That would give them warmth. And the Medrash says that they were absorbed into the ground. When I was a child, the Rebbe said they were taken into some cave where they would grow up. But this Medrash says they were absorbed into the ground till they grew up. And then they came out of the ground and they'd go back home as older children. And when the Egyptians saw this, they said, ooh, so they're hiding in the ground somewhere. They brought their plows, and they tried plowing them in the ground, but they couldn't affect them. And whenever they would catch a Jewish baby at home, they'd grab the baby from his mother and throw it into the Nile. Now, if we think about it, the Medrash doesn't say this, but that's very interesting. Why not just kill him any other way? But if they believed that this baby would threaten them and judge them, then they're throwing him to their god, the Nile. Perhaps that's what's going on here. So, Miriam, the daughter of Amram, the sister of Aaron, has a prophetic vision. She's a little child. She's 5 years old. And she says at home, she says, my parents will have a son, and he will save the Jews from the Egyptians. Now, other Midrashim say that Amram had already had a dream that this would happen. So, when Amram hears that, it's been 3 years since Aaron was born. He and his wife Yocheved are living in separate places. They've divorced. He marries her again, and they have this whole party. The kids are dancing there, and she gets pregnant. She's 127 years old. She's 130 years old at this point. So she gets pregnant and she gives birth. And when the baby's born, the whole house is filled with light. It's as though the sun's shining. And for 3 years, they can hide him. For 3 months, they hide Moshe. Yes?
Was prophecy like common or uncommon? In other words, you know, when they have these prophetic visions, is that something that they understood as like a prophetic vision? Or how... My understanding with prophecy is that it can only be given... I don't know if this is the correct understanding, but is that it can only be for Am Yisrael going to Eretz Yisrael?
So let's talk about that later. That's only once we entered Eretz Yisrael. Beforehand, yeah. What you said is what says in the Kuzari, though. And he doesn't say what I just said. Yes?
I may be wrong, but I remember hearing that those 3 months weren't necessarily, like, consecutive.
I don't know. I've never heard that, but it could be. I don't know. So, Yocheved puts him in the reeds at the edge of the Nile, and God makes it extraordinarily hot in Egypt. So let's think for a second. Moshe was born in Adar. We don't know if that year was a leap year or not, but let's assume not. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. So he's put in the Nile on the day in which we're going to receive the Torah, and Sivan is already the summer. It makes sense. It was very hot. And everyone went down to bathe, because everyone was broiling, including Batya, Pharaoh's daughter. The Medrash says that she had a terrible type of leprosy, and she couldn't bathe herself in warm water, even though she was a princess. Because she was suffering from this leprosy, she needed cold water, so she went down to the Nile, and that's where she saw the baby. And when she took Moshe, she got healed. And she said, oh, this is a righteous baby. Look, he cured me. And she merited the world to come. She saved Moshe. So she asks all the Egyptian women to nurse him. And he refuses. By the way, the Yemenite Midrashim say that when she took Moshe out of the Nile, so he urinated on her and that cured her from her leprosy. That's in the Yemenite Midrashim. Okay, so she pays Yocheved 2 silver coins a day to nurse Moshe. So Moshe is born in the year 2368 on a Wednesday, the 7th day of Adar, 3 hours into the day. So Moshe was born, I guess that's like 9 a.m. almost. Yeah, isn't that interesting? But then he brings all kinds of conflicting midrashim about when exactly he was born. He's 2 years old. He's brought back to Pharaoh's house. Batya raises him. She changes his name to Moshe because Amram had called him Chever. And his grandfather, Kehos, had given him the name Avigdor. Avigdor, our father in heaven, has closed the fence. And that from the minute he was thrown into the Nile, the Egyptians stopped throwing the firstborn babies into the Nile. They said, that's it, the kids hit the Nile. So he had many names. And Batya names him Moshe in Egyptian language, which he says over here is Tamur. Others say it's Moneus. Others say it's Mush. Others say it's Mayim. Different words in Egyptian that could mean Moshe. We say Moshe had 10 names, we derive from the verse in Divrei Hayamim. And that year, his grandfather Kehos passes away, and that brings us to the year 2371.